You are listening to KXLU at LMU, 88.9 FM, Los Angeles.
It is February 17th, 2023. Mystic Pete here with Connie Kupka and David Speltz. And you are producing Intermezzo, Chamber Music at the Fountain. It launches March 16th. Hello.
Hello.
I'm very interested in what you're doing. I love these little more community-based events featuring classical music. There's just not enough. And this looks enchanting. Tell me about it.
We're at a function, and we have a very close friend here, in fact, in West L.A., and she had a friend who we actually knew and had met before, and that friend works or is on the board for the Fountain Theater, and she knew, of course, we're musicians and chamber music players, and she said, how would you like to play chamber music at our theater? A little theater. So we went and saw the theater, and it's very charming, and it looked like it would do just great for
a series.
So we met with the main director there, and Stephen Sachs, and he was very excited about the possibility, and he wanted to have us curate it and set up some concerts. So the first concert, the test case, is in March. So we are hoping to
create some excitement.
March 16th, and you're playing Schubert and Mozart and Beethoven.
That's right. That's right. We're doing a...
We're not going out on a limb.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll start with the party favorites, and then if the series is successful, we'll go on to playing Bartok and Ludoslavski and
Gottschalk. Okay.
He's joking.
I'm joking. But anyway, yes, we're doing a string trio, one movement by Schubert, beautiful B flat in one movement, and we're doing a Mozart duo for viola and violin, and I get to lay out and listen.
And that's with Adam
and Connie, yes.
Yeah.
Adam is a fabulous fiddler. We're so lucky that he is around because he's a member of the Escher String Quartet, the first violinist, a world-renowned string quartet that's based in New York. They're quartet in residence at Lincoln Center for Chamber Music Society. And he just moved to L.A., recently, and so he's just happened to be in between concerts, and he'll be joining us.
Now, Connie, you've played with LACO, Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. I have featured them on a lot of programs. I interviewed Ben Cadwallader last year. He's the current director under Jaime Martin.
Oh, yes, right. I retired.
Okay.
Right before the pandemic. So that was before Ben's tenure.
Right. He just
so
came
I actually
Ben.
Didn't meet him yet. So I left just turned out to be the right moment. After I left, there was nothing else that happened for quite a long time. So people would always say, "Don't you miss it?" And I said, "Well, there's nothing to miss right now." So I had a good vacation before they really started up again. But it was a wonderful, wonderful career there. It's a joyous place to play, and I loved it. I was there for 30 years.
Really a top group.
Yeah.
And you were there, the beautiful mural downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So you were there during that
well,
time.
I was, but unfortunately, they were supposed to have two photo shoots for that.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do the first one. And they ran out of money or something, and they could only do the first photo shoot. So you've only got a little over about half the orchestra on the wall there, and the rest of us never got our turn. So I'm not there and never will be. But I love looking at my old friends there when I drive by.
Yeah, isn't that exciting? So Sir Neville Mariner.
No, that was way after Neville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I see. So were you around when he was part of...
I wasn't, but David was.
Yeah, I played in the orchestra as assistant principal during 73, 74, 75 period.
When Neville was there.
One of the great conductors.
He was fun. He was really fun. He had a great little English cutting sense of humor. For example, we were playing this concert we were preparing for the first day, Monday morning. We were doing the Wagner Siegfried Idol. It's an E major, you know, it's E major, you have to be in shape, more so than D major.
Or at least alert.
Alert. And it happened that Doug Davis, who was a principal cello, we were both at the same party the night before. So we came in Monday morning, blurry-eyed, and we started with the Siegfried Idol, and Neville stops, and he looks over at us, and he says, it sounds as though the cellists are playing on borrowed instruments today.
Oh, I see.
I've reminded him every time I've seen him, about that, and he came back to conduct the orchestra at Ambassador about 5 years ago.
Oh, it's quite longer than that.
Maybe 8 years ago. Yeah. And the first cellist, string broke, Andrew Schulman, and he, as you do, he took Armin Sajikian's cello and traded with him. And then at the party afterwards, I said, Sir Neville, how come you didn't say to Andrew, it sounds as though you're playing on borrowed instruments.
Literally.
Oh,
that's so. He had a good sense of humor, but a real icon and somebody I grew up listening to a lot.
He's the most recorded conductor in history,
right?
Or and was? I don't know if he still is.
Oh, I think so, because they haven't done that many recordings these days.
And I see you also play with the California Chamber Orchestra under Henry Tamiyaka.
I was.
Another name I grew up with.
Yes, I was principal cello for the California Chamber Symphony, and we played at Royce Hall for many years. And another fabulously gifted violinist and intellectual who had also a good sense of humor. He once called me and said, Dave, I want you to play the Divertimento by Mozart on the next chair music series. I said, oh, I know the piece backwards and forwards. He said, well, you're in luck because we're only going to play it forwards.
Yeah, classical musicians have a sense of humor. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
I see almost all the Lego shows, and I just saw Sheku Kane Mason play at Royce Hall.
Were you there too?
We were there too, yeah.
It was a little underwhelmed, frankly, but when I was growing up, there was a fellow named Jeffrey Solo.
He's our best friend, my best friend.
Yeah, well, he was the Sheku of that era, like, you know.
Yes, I was his best man, and he was my best man.
Okay, and yeah, he was the guy I was jealous of as a teenager. You know,
yes, like,
we all were.
Our first date, Connie, my first date was to go see him, hear him perform the Volkmann Concerto with the LA Philharmonic in a matinee, Sunday matinee. That was our first date together.
Well, it's interesting, though. Back then, well, Casals was around, and people started to get to know the cello through the box suites. But he had a very romantic way of playing and his breathing. Like, it wasn't a Baroque interpretation.
No.
At all. And later, people started going, hey, this is not the
way Bach wanted. That wasn't hip back then. I enjoy the new old playing. I really do. But I also love Pierre Fournier's rendition and Jeff's or Casals or these people.
Well, I loved his music, but it, and then somebody eventually went, well, you know, these Baroque orchestras aren't really the ones that Mahler had. Baroque orchestras are small little.
Yeah.
And people went, yeah, oh, that's not the way you play Bach with these huge symphonies. So things have evolved since then.
Yeah.
You knew my teacher, Alex Reisman.
Yes.
Who was a little bit of a mentor to me, you know, so I had some rough years, teenage times, and he was just kind of this nice, jolly, steady force for
me. Yes, yes. He had a great sense of humor, I recall. Yeah, there was many of those old timers that I really enjoy. I was young then.
Yeah. Well, things really have changed. I mean, on one level, there's a lot more money and a lot more celebrity and status. And I don't know, it's a little bit of a different world. And in a sense, it's much stronger, really. I mean, it's a real international scene, particularly in Los Angeles.
You're probably right about that. In the 50s and 60s, it was the LA Philharmonic, and that was it. There was no chamber orchestra.
Right.
Or chamber orchestra, no Orange County, no Pacific Symphonies, no...
There were many, many local orchestras. Community orchestras. There were lots of those. And when we were young, that was one way that all the players could make money, is they would bring in ringers for their concerts. So you'd play in the Downey Symphony or the Inglewood Philharmonic or many
Highland
of these
Park
other ones.
Symphony.
Highland Park Symphony. They were
Boston.
Everywhere.
I used to play
Burbank Symphony.
I did all that jobbing.
Glendale.
Did you do any of that too?
No, I was never quite good enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you certainly would have been, I'm sure.
Okay.
Because I used to do the Compton Symphony. We would travel all over. It was a ball.
It really was fun.
Yeah,
in our early,
you
meet so
local.
Many people.
In our youth, we would do church jobs, Christmas concerts, and
anything,
weddings, and so forth.
It's classical music. You're not making a lot of money.
No.
You're working people.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
And you're teaching students. And it's not, you know, it's not a celebrity world for most musicians.
Well, I have to admit, I never taught, mainly because I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
So,
that's so funny. Well, I was never like a really a great classical player, but at some point I kind of put it down and I picked it up again and just started kind of playing from my emotions and improvising. And it turns out I do have a skill, but it's not in the classical role. It's much more of a kind of improvisational.
Well, that's a skill.
That's
a different thing.
We don't
something
have that
we
skill.
Don't have. That's for sure.
We're bound.
We're jealous of it.
We're note bound.
Oh, okay.
We got to have notes. So you have something we
you're
don't.
One
it's
above
just,
us.
It's a different thing, and I do a lot of music meditation now. So, like, very ambient. I'm great at playing one note. But that note sounds really good. No, I have my thing, you know, and I can take people out into a little, like, meditation with sound.
Sure,
and
very
they appreciate
popular.
It. That's what I do. But, you know, music goes in so many directions. And I think classical musicians at some point realize, well, let's learn to play jazz, too. Or, like, you see people doing all kinds of...
Yeah.
Genres now.
Yeah.
Connie, tell me about this series. What inspired it and where are we going with it?
Well, it's fun to have somebody say, do you want to make a series? I mean, how wonderful is that? You can think of people that you want to play with or put on the program and all the pieces that you love. Since this is the first one, and there's certainly a budget limitation, we're keeping the group small, and we're starting with maybe 3-4 concerts for this season, just to get our feet wet to see how it goes. And I think it's really exciting. And this, I mean, like I said, this first concert is pretty standard stuff, but it's exciting music too. It's really, it's stuff that's right in our hearts. And then we have another group that has a wonderful flutist and a wonderful Spanish guitarist. And that'll be probably the second one in the series. And It's just exciting to be able to do that and to program these things.
We're hoping that it's going to take off because it's a fun little theater and
it's an interesting
area too. East Hollywood, yeah. Hollywood is becoming hip.
Yeah,
restaurants and so forth. So I really hope that it's going to happen.
I think people want to get more involved in classical music. If sometimes people don't know quite how to do it, or they look at the big ticket prices for some of the big events. But this is very accessible. The program is accessible. Anybody would love this, even if they've never heard classical music.
Yeah.
It's just a nice, friendly theater.
That's what we're counting on.
It's true. The theater itself, it's not huge. It's just really lovely size. It's intimate. So these concerts are very casual. They're going to be with enough information, and I think they should be really fun for everybody, and then people will learn something. And
front seat guests
will learn something.
Yeah, front seat guests will probably be 8 feet away. Yeah. It's the way chamber music was.
Right, right next to the orchestra.
That's what chamber music is. That's what it's about. Yeah.
The first one is March 16th, 8 p.m. The Fountain Theater. You can just search Intermezzo, the Fountain Theater, March 16th, and you'll see the program there, and hopefully everybody can show up. It'd be a nice place to bring a date or your family, kids.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Right, or bring your enemy if you don't like chair music.
Bring your enemy.
Make them suffer.
See, that's a tagline I don't think it's been used yet. Yeah.
Bring your enemy and make a friend.
Oh, I like that. Okay, good. Connie Kupka, David Speltz, thank you so much. I will see you on March 16th.
All right.
Perfect. We look forward to it.